your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. In your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1281. 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 7. We'll read through verse 13. We'll read these verses responsibly. The 13th verse is the text verse for this morning's message. As our custom is here at First Baptist, let's all stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I left in Ephesus. And let's read together also the 13th verse. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. And let's pray. Father, what a wonderful day. Thank you for your goodness in giving us this place, this church, this assembly. And we feel so blessed to be here among thy people, and to hear once again from thy word. Bless our preacher. Bless, we pray, the service. Bless, we pray, the hearing of the preaching. That's what it's all about. It's the focal point of all that we do around here. And we pray that you'd bless the preaching and the preacher. Help us to hear with carefulness, with the intent of acting upon that which we hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
This will not be the best sermon you've ever heard. And it will not be one that will change your life today. It will be one that will help you more in the future than any sermon you ever heard me preach. I read for you without your turning to it again. Our text this morning. It says, the cloak thou left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. Our Heavenly Father, help me to be a help to my people today. Yea, to our people, our church. Bless me as I speak. May I speak earnestly, honestly, truthfully, sincerely, and powerfully. Please. Amen. This sermon, by the way, you'll enjoy hearing this. I was speaking last night at the ordination service, and I had my hearing aids in. And I almost stopped and said, turn that bass up and turn that cotton picking treble down. I may totally change. I'm going through the change of life, I think. But I may totally change now. But anyway, this sermon was prepared months ago. I'm constantly preparing sermons. Sometimes I'll prepare 4, 5, 6 sermons in 1 week. I have a file I keep. Probably right now there are 35 sermons in there prepared who are unpreached. I plan to preach 10 of them tonight. And you don't mean that. But this sermon has been in my file to preach. I knew I was supposed to preach it sometime. Strangely, I was waiting for the opportune time to preach it. Friday morning, we had the funeral service for Steve Staten, 26 years of age. Cancer didn't linger but a few weeks after he found he had cancer. And left a little bride in her 20s. Two little children, too young to remember their daddy. They'll not ever remember him. And our church has been shaken by it. I do not ever recall in these 50 years of preaching, over 50, when one of my churches has been quite as shaken as we have over the untimely death of Steve Staten. Standing right down here beside the casket Friday morning, it was about 11:15, I stood beside the little widow. And she spoke a few words to me, sort of like this. She said, "Preacher, thank you for all the sermons. We couldn't have made it without them." Then she said, "Steve and I, in the last few days, have been recounting the sermons you preached. We've been reliving them and the truths that you've taught us." I'm not sure she mentioned that they played them on tape. I'm not sure about that. But she said, "That's what's kept us going in the last few days and few weeks. The truths that you've taught us and the sermons you preached." And there I said, "The sermon for Sunday morning is the one that I prepared months ago. I'm going to call it Prepare for Winter." People ask me, "How do you keep going? At your age, how do you keep going? And show me, make a list of all the pastors who are approaching their 71st birthday who are still going. And then narrow that list down to those that have over 2,000 people attending. And then narrow that down to those that have a college and four or five other schools. And then narrow that down to fellows that travel 200,000 miles a year on jet planes and preach across the country." People say, "How do you keep going?" I'm going to tell you this morning how I keep going. And if you listen to me, I promise you, 25 years from now, you'll thank God you heard what I'm going to say. Paul is painfully enduring the suffocating fervors of summer sultry days in an un-air-conditioned prison in Rome. He is suffering the fierce heat of its insufferable maximum. Beneath the clouds of the Italian skies, he is writing in the summertime, but he is contemplating the stern, vigorous winter that's going to come. Paul prepares by writing to Timothy. He says to Timothy, "Timothy, bring the cloak." Well, what in the name of common sense does he want a cloak for? It's not cold. It's a sultry, hot, humid summer day. Are you listening to me? Don't leave me now. A hot, sultry, humid summer day. And Paul writes to Timothy and says, "When you come, don't forget to bring the coat, cloak, overcoat, if you please." There Paul sits in his prison in the summertime with his overcoat. It sort of seems stupid to me, but Paul knew that just as sure as it's summertime now, wintertime was going to come. So Paul prepared for the inevitability of wintertime. Ladies and gentlemen, your wintertime is going to come. You may be sitting today neath the sunshine of the blessings of God. You may be in the best of health, but you don't know when you're going to feel a pressure on your chest like Doug Caleb did the other day. Suddenly, a pressure on his chest. He rushes to the doctor, finds out that he has to have a triple bypass, and the doctor says, "You don't have to have it now, but you have to have it soon." But he said, we have the doctors here now at the hospital already, and Doug said, let's just do it right now and get it over with. You don't know. You don't know when your husband's going to all of a sudden come to you and say, I feel a pain at the age of 26. You don't know when you sit here tonight here. Well, what's this sermon got to do with me? Every sermon I preach may have nothing to do with you now, but it'll have something to do with you later on. How foolish you are to sit there in a sermon not listen to it. Well, it doesn't apply to me. I'm not having troubles, but troubles will come. It's summertime in my life. I don't need the coat, but wintertime is going to come. And the clouds are going to come. And the heartbreak is going to come. And the illness is going to come. And the sadness is going to come. And the tragedy is going to come. So Paul said, I know winter's going to come. I want to get ready for wintertime. It's summertime now. But don't forget to bring me the cloak. That's how I made it. That's how I'm making it now. While some of you teenagers are sitting out there making faces or eyes to each other, and while some of you are whispering to each other, while some of you are playing around, I guarantee you when I was a boy, my mother made me listen. While Brother Sizemore spoke, I sat there and I was made to listen. Turn me down just a tad, please. Boy, I love to hear that. I haven't got my hearing aids in, though. Turn me down. Anybody up there? I was made to listen. And I stored up the truths that my pastor preached. I'll never forget the day when I went to Texas to preach in Amarillo. That's the hometown of my pastor. He was old and retired at the time. I'm talking about he lived to be over 90. He was about 90 at the time. I went to see him, and he was at the church pastored by his son. I couldn't believe it. My pastor was senile. He said, so I've got to go to the washroom. In his own church, little church, he couldn't even find the washroom. I thank God that day that I stored up in my mind, in my heart, the truths that my pastor preached. Now you listen to me. Some of you young folks misbehaving in church and older people taking a nap in church. The day is going to come when you're going to need what's preached from this pulpit. Now store it up. I recall mine. Aunt Octa in the summertime in Texas, down on the farm in Texas, would go out in the garden in their little 40-acre farm, and she'd get the green beans and pick them, and she'd get the beets and pick them, and she'd get the corn and bring it all in, and then she'd can and prepare. Those days had those steam cookers and so forth. And then she'd put in the little closet, she'd put stacks and stacks of peas and beans and beets and corn. What was she doing? She was getting ready for the wintertime. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you listen to me. I've been around a while. Ms. Hiles and I sat the other day in the house of one member that's been a member of our church since before I came. He had a heart attack, and then he had bypass surgery, and then cancer, and now it's cancer of the liver. It's going to come. It's going to come. Little did Trina Staten realize just a few weeks ago that she'd be sitting in this service this morning, a widow with two little children to rear. I wish I could grab you sometime and shake you and say, sit up and listen to me. You're going to need this one of these days. Paul said, bring the coat. Bring the coat. Wintertime is going to come. My mother lay dying at our college clinic. I was sitting there the night before she died, before all that could die ever died. Mother said, son, read me some scriptures about heaven. I couldn't read. I was weeping. The woman that brought me in the world is leaving the world. And the woman that taught me and loved me when nobody else loved me and worked for 50 cents a day so she could put some food in my mouth and clothes on my body with a drunkard husband out wasting what money he had. She's leaving. My eyes were filled with tears. And she said, read me some scriptures about heaven. Boy, how I thank God I'd stored them up for wintertime. Back yonder when everything was on top side and everybody was well and healthy and there were no tears in these eyes and no stoop in these shoulders and no palsy in these hands and no unsure step in these feet. Thank God, I memorized some scriptures about heaven and I sat beside her bed for 30 minutes and just quoted scriptures about heaven. I was preparing for winter. Then she said, let's sing some songs. I couldn't open a song book, but I thank God I know every song in that book. You don't ever see me picking up a book and opening the page. I know them all. My mother and I, in the last hours, last minutes I spent with her, we sang together, oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of a cloudless day. Oh, the... You say, preacher, what are you saying? I am saying, kids, get up and sing the songs and learn them. One day you're going to stand at the wintertime and wish you had your coat with you. Paul said, bring the cloak. If I were you, I'd listen to every sermon that's preached. Now look... People write me notes saying, Brother Hiles, don't quit. I don't aim to quit. I mean, you're stuck with me. I'll be up here preaching. I'll preach your funeral, Brother Bordway. I don't hope I will, but I think I will. I'm trying to say, but one of these days, the natural is going to happen, and I won't be here. Now, while I'm here, you listen to what I've got to say. Elijah said to young Elisha, he said, when I go up, catch my mantle. And what he said was, catch my spirit, catch my power, catch my enthusiasm. And while I'm here preaching to you, you listen to what I'm saying. Do you courting somewhere else? Do you whispering somewhere else? Do you misbehaving somewhere else? Take your nap somewhere else? But it's canning time now, and people that did not can in the wintertime, in the farms of summertime, starved in the wintertime, and you, like Trina Staten, are going one of these days to need the truths that I'm preaching to you behind this platform. Listen to every word of every sermon. Keep a file of tapes. For every possibility. Every possible thing that could happen to you that will cause a winter time. You get the tape and you keep it on file. So when the time comes, winter time comes, you'll have the sermon that you need and the truth that you need. But more than that, keep it in your memory. And by the way, if you're listening to me, you'll remember what I'm saying. You know, if you said, Brother Keith, tell me five jokes. I couldn't tell you five. I don't know. I could not think of five jokes. But I'll guarantee you in this computer up here, there are a heap of jokes up there. I know more than five blonde jokes. But when somebody says something that remind me of one of them, that joke comes to my mind. And I'll promise you this. I'll promise you. You store up scriptures. You store up songs. You store up sermons. You store up truths. And I'll promise you the day is going to come when something's going to happen. You're going to say, I remember that sermon. When wintertime comes, picture yourself today as needing the sermon that's being preached. Get your cloak. You're going to need it. Winter's going to come. Your doctor may tell you before next Sunday morning. And I'm, by the way, I'm talking little children. I'm talking to teenagers. I'm talking to high schoolers. I'm talking to college students. I'm talking to young married couples in the early days of your marriage. I'm trying to tell you, the doctor could say this week it's cancer. You ask Dr. Geragos up there, heart surgeon. You ask him, who has heart trouble? You ask him the ages of the people who've had bypass surgery and hit by his skill.
Ask him. He'll tell you. Sometimes it's old men and sometimes old women. Sometimes it's middle-aged people in the prime of life. Sometimes it's young people at the noontime of life, at the springtime of life. But I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, don't think you're going to get by without wintertime. As sure as summertime is here, fall is going to come. And as sure as fall comes, winter's going to come. And as sure as winter comes, spring will never come here. I'm saying, keep your coat. At 26, I remember Steve. And I've never been as crushed, or more crushed than I've been over this death. It has startled our church. I was at the hospital, St. Margaret's, when I heard he was sick. He lay there on his back, and he said, "I don't understand it. I've tried to serve God. I've tried to win souls. I don't understand it." And like I said Friday morning, I don't understand it either. But I know there's one little 20-some-odd-year-old young lady today who thanks God that she listened to what the preacher had to say. She thanks God that she got in this book and read this book and sing the songs of God. And like a little trooper, she stood right here beside the body of the man she loved. And she, with a smile on her face, said, "Thank God." I'll tell you why. She had her cloak with her. Paul said, winter's going to come. You don't know when your child may be found face down in a pool of water. And maybe in a semi-comatose state, perhaps the rest of his life. You don't know when a wayward child may break your heart. Folks, listen to me. I live with heartbroken people. My whole life is spent with people whose hearts are broken. You never know who it's going to be. You don't know. The phone rings. Somebody said, "Did you know that Don Boyd has cancer of the eye?" In my opinion, he didn't deserve to have it. But he has it. He didn't know. And you don't know. You never know. The phone rings. Brother Johnny, you know what I'm talking about. It rings. And the phone, the parsonage, sounds like a funeral dirge. Somebody picks up the phone. I pick up the phone. Somebody says, "So-and-so just died." It may be a John Penley. A deacon. It may be John and Madeline Penley's little boy who died as a little tyke prematurely. You don't know. You don't know when you may hear that your eye is cancerous. You don't know when you may hear that your child has muscular dystrophy. You don't know when somebody's going to say that you have a child has cerebral palsy. You don't know. But I want to tell you, listen. I sat here every year at graduation time. I look at these high school students about ready to get their diplomas. And I say, I wonder when it's going to come. You see, Steve sat here a few years ago. And so did Trina. And I looked in their eyes and I thought that the day and night is, I think, every time we have graduation, when's the heartache going to come? Tim and Betty McCurdy sat here one time and now they got a little boy that sits in my comatose for the rest of his life. You don't know. In God's name, I'm not trying to get you to listen to me because I want you to hear. I don't say, shut up and listen to me because I'm upset. I want you to get your cloak. Because I know winter time's going to come. You don't know which of you. The last month, that many ladies have come to my office saying, My husband's left me and the children.
By the way,
they were as happily married they thought as you are. You don't know when it's going to come to you. You don't know. I told Brother Don, boy, today, I said, Don, it's hard to watch your daughter become a widow, isn't it? And I mentioned how that I felt the first time I heard that Becky had such a bad case of lupus. I wanted to suffer, not her. But it's going to come. I'm telling you, it's going to come. Young people, listen to me. Winter time is coming. The calls come over and over again. You don't know when the doctor's going to say your child is mentally ill. You don't know when your mom and dad are going to call you in and say we're going to divorce. Winter's coming. A lady said to me not long ago, Brother Hiles, heartache has broken my life. Troubles and have brought the clouds of adversity. But she said, Brother Hiles, a sermon you preached years ago came to my mind. It's called, In All Thy Ways Acknowledge Him. I was in Tallahassee, Florida. I was walking down the concourse to catch a plane. I started quoting that verse in Proverbs chapter 3. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And suddenly I found myself in cadence saying, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And then I found myself putting a little song to it. Didn't plan to do it. I was singing, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him, in all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he... And I got me a sermon on it, and I preached it. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And as I preached this morning, I can hardly look at the congregation. Because I know your burdens and heartaches. And that little lady said, you preached that sermon years ago. And she said, all of a sudden the heartache came and the wintertime came. But she had the cloak all ready for wintertime. She had put in her mind that scripture and that sermon, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. One of these days after I'm in heaven and my body's in the cemetery, you're going to need some of the things I'm leaving for you. Sit up and listen to what I'm saying. Just the other day, in my office, my heart was crushed. The lady said to me, Preacher, I don't think I can make it. I know I couldn't if it hadn't been for one sermon. I said, what do you mean? She said, let me change it. One poem. It's called God's Embroidering. And she said, you preached a sermon on it one time. She said that, Brother Hiles, you told, and I remember that sermon. You told how you used to sit at the knees of your mother. And your mother's embroidering, she had a hoop. She had a big needle. Push that needle down, pull it back up, and push it down, and pull it back up. And I'd say, Mama, what are you doing? My mama looked down at me and she said, Son, I'm embroidering. And I'd say, Mama, what is it? She said, You'll find out. I said, Mama, it looks like a mess to me. Nothing but dark threads and gray and black threads down here, and it's all jumbled up. Looks like a mess to me. My mother said to me, Son, you just trust me. I'm all finished. I'm going to bring you up, put you on my knee, and let you see it from my side. After a while, Mother would say, Son, come here. And she'd pick me on her knee. And I'd look down, and I'd see a beautiful sunset or a beautiful flower. And I'd say, Mother, that's beautiful. She said, Son, she said, you were looking from the wrong side. I don't know how many times in my life I've looked up and I said, God, what are you doing? And God said, I'm embroidering. And I said, looks messy to me. Why the dark threads? Why can't there be yellow and bright and red and orange? And why can't there be bright and happy? Father!
And my Heavenly Father looks down and says, my child, one of these days I'll put you on my knees. And I'll show you why. Trina, you'll know why one of these days. Tim and Betty, you'll know why one of these days. Mrs. Penley, you'll know why one of these days. And all the other people who know what it's like to go through wintertime, you'll know what it's like one of these days. Jesus said to me, son, you just go ahead and keep preaching. I'll bring you up one of these days and let you sit on my knee, and praise God, he will. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battle's all won. We'll shout the victory and break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me and for you. The lady said, Brother House, that one illustration sustained me. By the way, I haven't used the illustration in years. Till this morning. But she stored it away. She wasn't asleep like some of you people are. She wasn't misbehaving like some of you do. She listened and listened and listened. And she put in her closet a canned good of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And an illustration about my mama embroidering. And one day when wintertime came, she opened the closet door. And bless God, it was there. Lady came the other day. Her husband just left her. Little baby in her arms. She said, Brother Hiles, remember the sermon? 9 out of 10 isn't bad. Remember that? She said, that's kept me going. I preached it years ago. I divided life into different segments. Marriage, health, finances, job, children. And I said, nobody has 10 out of 10. I said, if you got 7 out of 10 that are good, that's passing. If you got 9 out of 10, that's amazing. And the little lady said, that's what kept me going. Did you have dawn on you that preaching's for a reason? Did ever dawn on you that I'm not up here just making a living so I won't have to work? Though that is one reason.
Paul said, bring the cook. What do you mean, Paul? It's 100 degrees outside. 90% humidity. What do you want the cook for? Paul said, winter's coming. Comes in the garden. It rolls your head about 9 days ago. You wondered you'd ever see your wife this side of heaven again. Now, I promise you this. A heap of truths came through your mind. People say, well, Brother Colton, he came to my good side and comforted my soul, but one of these days he can't get to you. One of these days you won't have me. I'm not resigning. I'll be here a long time after you're gone. But I want to say this. If I were you, I'd sit up and listen. I'd store in my memory. I'd put my life in my cutting up. And I'd store in my memory everything that's said. I'd live in this book. I wouldn't sit there looking around in the song service. Brother, we're singing. I heard an old story. How the Savior came from glory. At victory in Jesus. Sing it! You'll need it one of these days. My mama, on her deathbed, you went to see her. She said, sing. Sweet hour of prayer. Would you have had to have a phone book? I can hear her voice now. She and I made a perfect duet. Neither one of us ever met the tune. We sang together. Till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height. I'll view my home and take my flight. This robe of flesh, I'll drop and rise to seize everlasting prize. Shout while passing through the air. Farewell, farewell. Sweet hour of prayer. Listen to me, I'm through. I've not said goodbye to a spouse like Trina did. I've never had a child who had a disease that killed him, at least as of now. I've not been through some of the heartaches that some of you've been through. But I've been through a few. And I've stayed awake many a night, cried myself to sleep. I know what I'm talking about. How I thank God today that God gave me a preacher who's been in heaven for years. But I listened to him. I listened to him. He stored up truths that kept me going into this day. Would you bow your heads, please?